Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the finfanatic.com website and the Fansided Network as well. I am happy to say, Paul, that this is the last show we're going to do before we can say Miami Dolphins football is underway. The Dolphins play the Bears here this Saturday at Soldier Field, noon Central, 1 Eastern time. And yeah, I mean, we've got three preseason games this year, and you know, this is kind of grease the wheels, get things going type of a preseason game here. So we'll talk about that a little bit. What's your thought? Football is actually back, and now between Saturday and the end of April, when we do the NFL draft show, football season's here, Paul.
Dude, you have no idea. Like, actually, I didn't even get to talk to you about this off the air yet. I'm actually coaching two teams, which is awesome. And they're actually full of little Dolphin fans, which is amazing. And then Sarah actually surprised Axe and I yesterday by getting tickets to the season opener at New England. So we're literally, I'm going to coach two games that morning. One of them's at noon. And then as soon as we finish our game, literally still dirty from football, we are going to head up to Foxborough and watch Miami put New England on notice. I this is great. Like, and now we got preseason football. We've got, God, it's like football, football, football. My wife would kill me if she heard me right now, because that's all she hears.
So the question is, there at that age, is there overtime?
What's that?
Is there overtime at his age?
Not with the offense I'm going to be running. Let me put it that way.
Okay. Because that's the only possible sticky spot is if it goes into overtime, and then it goes and then. But I know you'll stay and coach that team. So anyway, let's take a look here at what we've got going. So we're going to talk about a few players we're looking at the Bears game, and we're going to talk about our updated 53-man roster now that we've gotten some training camp reports out of the way here. And big kudos to a lot of people here. I remember 25 years ago when I started watching or following football, I was lucky to get a snippet from the Miami Herald on a message board. And now, you know, big shout out to the Miami Herald, Sun Sentinel, 3 Yards Per Carry podcast, does a lot of great stuff on that. Travis Wingfield, a wealth of information that gears everybody up for the season here. So kudos to them, and we really do look forward to it. So, Paul, the big news, obviously, and we haven't really talked about it, and we don't have to take a deep dive into it because we did a whole show on it and went back and forth. But it's been a while since we've done a show here. It's been about a week or so. Xavien Howard back in the fold. Everything is taken care of. I mean, I couldn't be more excited, and I know you definitely feel the same way.
Attention, listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston. Do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. First scheduled for liftoff, the new Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. This spaceship is here to guide you on a journey to trim your body, balls, butt, and even Uranus. This fourth generation trimmer also features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch, and can engage a travel lock, and it's even waterproof. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker. It's like having a little astronaut to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your Spaceballs will thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's Cantor, who grew up a Dolphins fan, finally kept one here. And you know what? It really wasn't anything outrageous. It really was something that worked for both sides. And you could tell they both wanted to make this work here as far as Xavier Howard and as far as the Dolphins. And, you know, everybody wants to talk precedent. I know we've talked this and beat it to death. If Miami sets a precedent here, it's a good one. It's like, look, whether we negotiate with you or not, if you're in the defensive player or offensive player or special teams player of the year conversation, we can have a conversation about your contract. Like, and we can be mature about it. So
I think the lesson to be learned too is when the contract is in, you know, this just the second year, how difficult it is to renegotiate and how great of a player you have to be. Because let's face it, I mean, Xavier Howard, a defensive MVP candidate, that's the only reason the Dolphins entertained this. And they dug their heels in for 7.5 months after Xavier Howard hired David Cantor as his agent. So it's not a slippery slope to, oh, well, you know, Zach Sealer barely outperformed his contract. He's going to want more money. There is none of that. So the details of it, and people know this by now pretty, but just to glance over it, $4.5 million in incentives this year if Xavier Howard plays at that same level. In March of 2022, when the new league year begins for the 2022 season, Xavier Howard is going to get guaranteed his 2022 salary if he's still healthy. And if he's healthy, why wouldn't you guarantee his 2022 salary? Even if, let's say, he goes from the best cornerback in the NFL in 2021 to middle of the pack in 2022, that's about the going rate, you know, that $13 million for a cornerback that is middle of the pack, which we don't expect Xavier Howard to be.
Yeah, and the other thing that I did see, and I can't remember the exact source, so I apologize, was that they would be willing, depending on how he does this year, to reopen contract negotiations in good faith during the off season as well. Udotis, thank you very much. Real quick, we got a question, and I'll jump this one in real quick. Who is the most trustworthy source, in our opinion, to believe when there's conflicting narratives coming out of practice? I get so confused sometimes. I'll jump in first because it's, you know, I talk to this guy on the phone once in a while. I fully trust his eyes with most things, and that's Travis. There's a reason why he shot up the ranks so quick, and the Dolphins noticed him and pulled him in. It's Travis typically is spot on and honest. So I'll give it to him.
Sure. And I'll be real honest too. The answer is me. No, I'm just kidding. I am a big Barry Jackson fan, the Miami Herald. I always think he's very level-headed. He's very informational. And he's not trying to prove a point. He's just giving you the facts, and he gives a level-headed perspective. I'm a big Barry Jackson fan.
Okay.
Good question. You know, Xavier Howard, great to have him back in the fold. Not only that, but, Paul, now we talked about kind of that domino effect, too. If now you got Xavier Howard and Byron Jones at the cornerback spots. You've got Eric Rowe starting at strong safety. You've got a great competition between Jason McCourty and Javon Holland at that free safety spot. And it looks like Justin Coleman is wrapped up that nickelback position. So with those five in line, you talk about competition and depth at defensive back between players like Noah Igbinoghi, who is not having a good camp, Jamal Perry, who I know you love, Terrell Bonds, Javaris Davis, Brandon Jones. I mean, you've got a lot of fighting to just get snaps here in this elite secondary.
Yeah, Jamal Perry's been playing well this week, and it hurts my soul. Like, it really does. But, no, honestly, the fact that Javon Holland's been balling out and still hasn't seized the starting job says a lot about this secondary right now. The fact that we saw Brandon pop most of the season last year when he got on the field, and he still hasn't been able to take a starting job. The progress of Nick Needham last year was huge. I am a little disappointed about Igbinoghene, especially after the reports I was hearing at the end of the season last year where he was supposedly standing out in practice and just the depth on the field was keeping him off. But again, this is a team that's going to keep six or seven corners. This is a team that's going to keep four safeties. I mean, it's, you're going to have a fifth of your resources tied up in that secondary.
And you should. And I want the Dolphins to keep 11 or 12 defensive backs. And every time we talk about them, there's another player stepping up. But I can't wait to see the secondary play again this year. It was fun watching it last year. And if they can get more playmaking skills with Javon Holland there in the secondary, even better. Looking at some other training camp news, reports that have come out, here is the offensive line's a little fascinating here too, because Liam Eichenberg on the Dolphins first depth chart starting at left guard, then has had some injury problems here and was actually yanked out of the lineup in the scrimmage against the Bears. Solomon Kindley put back in at left guard. So not quite sure where Liam Eichenberg factors in now. I mean, does he go back to right tackle and challenge Jesse Davis? Does he get a starting spot back when Solomon Kindley or from Solomon Kindley throughout the summer here? So that's something that does bear watching here on the offensive line, which according to reports hasn't looked very good right now.
Yeah, but they're also going up against a pretty potent Bears front four most of the time. The Bears defensive line is one of their biggest strengths. So it's a tough call there. The interesting one is, and I know he's listed as a left guard, is, and this is a deep cut here, but Durval Carez Nito. Apparently, he's eaten a few people's lunch in one-on-ones so far this week, and even during the preseason. So it's pretty cool. And then the fact that the Dolphins' defensive line has gotten a lot of push up the middle against the Bears' O-line.
Yeah, Durval Carez Nito is somebody that it seems like he's been on that international exempt list for years now, and
because he has.
Because he has.
He's going to retire from the international exemption.
Yeah, he is. I mean, his number is going to be retired. But he is – that's a fascinating battle to watch here at the interior of the offensive line, because Jermaine Illuminor is strictly being listed as a guard now. You've got Matt Skura at center backing a Michael Dieter.
Repeat that again for our listeners, because that's just –
Repeat what?
The Matt Skura thing. Because I just want people to hear that again. Matt Skura is the backup fighting for his life against Cameron Tom at this point.
Yeah, and with the depth chart, Skura was second, and Tom was third. Skura was on second team, Tom was on third.
Yeah.
That is an actual battle here going forward. And there's also talk, too, about the Dolphins being interested in some offensive tackles. I look at the Lions and Tyrell Crosby at the right tackle spot, where he started to show a lot of promise last year for the Lions, but then they drafted Penei Sewell. Wouldn't surprise me if the Dolphins went down that road, maybe offering a wide receiver that we've talked about in a trade here in August. We know that Chris Greer likes to trade, but we could go over those scenarios all day. But with the depth chart too, Paul, I mean, some surprises. Depth chart doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot right now. We've got three preseason games and a full month before the season starts, or almost a month. So just going down a couple of surprises, or maybe some surprises, nothing glaring. Jared Doakes was listed behind Jordan Scarlett at running back. He was sixth. Jalen Waddle, fourth wide receiver behind Albert Wilson. Liam Eikenberg was starting at left guard over Solomon Kindley. Christian Wilkins was still hanging on to a starting spot over Zach Sealer. A lot of talk, and Paul, you nailed this a couple of weeks ago here, about Zach Sealer possibly getting more snaps than Christian Wilkins this year.
Yeah, and it's one thing that – so it's I do try to keep an open mind with anybody not named Jamal Perry at times. It's – I know I've been a little down on Christian Wilkins the past few weeks, but I think it was Travis ran a stat where the last 6 or 8 weeks of the season, Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer, and Raekwon Davis were all in the top 15 or 20 – as far as interior defensive linemen go across the NFL. And that says a lot as far as both pass rush and run stuffing. So, you know, I fully expect all three to make the roster and to see significant snaps. But Zach Sealer has been a guy that every chance he gets with it, when he gets out there on the field, he flashes. With that big body that's built like Sully from Monsters, Inc., he just gets it done. And Raekwon Davis is just entrenched at this point, as a pleasant surprise for me. I thought there was a possibility Raekwon would wash out.
I wasn't a fan of the pick, but he's been fantastic ever since about week five last year. And yeah, I mean, obviously all three of them are going to make the roster, and that is one of the most dependable, consistent things for the Dolphins roster heading into this year is the defensive tackle, interior defensive line spot. So yeah, definitely those three make the roster. And speaking of the roster, Paul, we'll update our 53-man roster prediction here. It's been a couple of weeks since we've looked at it. So we've got this really tight before we get into it here. So the rules are very simple. Paul has his own 53-man roster. I have mine. We don't talk about it beforehand. We just make sure that we have ours in line. We don't speculate on this. We count the players that are in the building. We don't project trades. We don't do any of that stuff. So as the roster currently sits, let's go down the line here. We can bypass quarterbacks. Tua and Jacoby Brissett as your two quarterbacks. Then at running back, obviously we've got Myles Gaskin on there. I have Malcolm Brown as the backup, Savon Ahmed as the third running back. And I still can't get over, and I still got to put him on there. I still think Patrick Laird makes it there because of his receiving skills and because of his special teams play. And he's turned into kind of a veteran on this roster too. So I've got four: Gaskin, Brown, Laird, and Ahmed. Who do you have there at running back?
I've got Gaskin, Brown, Laird, and I've still got Doakes at this point. I know he's buried right now, but it's early, and a lot of running backs don't tend to flash early when that happens. So,
yeah, and sometimes, you know, when you draft a running back in the seventh round, he does get the benefit of the doubt if it's close. And it might be close if he can creep back a little bit. At wide receiver, Will Fuller is out the first week. So we're judging this 53-man roster based on week one of the NFL season. Will Fuller is going to be suspended for just one game. That is, if he ever gets off the exercise bike, he'll make it to week two. Let's take a look here. Pat, I've got Devontae Parker, Jalen Waddle, Albert Wilson as the number three receiver, Lynn Bowden, Mac Hollins, and returning to my 53-man roster, I've got Jakeem Grant.
Okay. I have six total. I've got Devontae, Jakeem, obviously Wilson and Waddle. I do not have Bowden at this point, as much as I do like him. I have Robert Foster and Mac Hollins battling it out in week two for that six wide receiver spot when Will Fuller returns.
Interesting. Foster and Hollins, even though, yeah, I mean, both special teams guys, and, you know, Brian Flores values that very much. So,
and what one's going to go when Fuller comes back?
Yeah. Once, so probably Foster's going to go when he comes back, or Hollins.
Yeah.
I think Hollins
will be one of the two.
Definitely, Hollins to me is I think is pretty locked in. And I think he's emerging really as a team leader. And Flores is going to have players on his 53-man roster that are just special teams guys. Matt Collins plays that very important role of gunner. So, yeah, I mean, I think he stays. Tight end, I've got Mike Gesicki, Hunter Long, who, by the way, is not dead for people that thought he was. He was carted off. I thought it looked really, really bad. He's returning to practice. So Mike Gesicki, Hunter Long, Adam Shaheen, and Seathan Carter, and I've got Durham Smythe getting cut.
So I have Gesicki, Hunter Long. I've got Seathan Carter, who's going to see significant snaps in that fullback H-back role. The Dolphins have been hunting for a fullback a little bit too hard for me to think that they're not going to use one, much to your amusement. And then I've got them keeping Smythe over Shaheen at this point, even though I think Shaheen's the better receiver.
Okay. Yeah, there really is a toss-up there. I think Shaheen's got a little bit more guaranteed money. Seathan Carter does, too. I think they've made a little bit more of a choice with them. But, I mean, Smythe has played a lot of snaps. He's played more snaps than any other tight end on the Dolphins roster over the last couple of years. And he's only making $2 million, so it's not a whole heck of a lot. If there is a doubt, and I think another team would be crazy, not to spend a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, probably a sixth or seventh rounder, to trade for Durham Smythe in that scenario. Offensive line, I know we've got six locks each, so we'll bypass those. Austin Jackson at left tackle, Liam Eichenberg, Michael Dieter, Robert Hunt, Jesse Davis, Solomon Kindley.
Yep.
We've got those six. After that, it's a little bit murky. I've got the Dolphins keeping nine. So my seventh, eighth, and ninth offensive linemen, I see Matt Skura beating out Cameron Tom. I see Jermaine Illuminor being that guard, you know, emergency offensive tackle. And the last roster spot here that I had went to Larnell Coleman. I don't see the Dolphins cutting both seventh rounders. I had him cutting Dokes. I don't have him cutting Coleman. And he's looked a little bit more ahead of the curve than I think a lot of people thought so far, according to some training camp reports. So I've got Skura, Illuminor, and Coleman there as my seventh through ninth linemen.
So I am high on Larnell Coleman. I have been since they drafted him. But I have three more linemen after the six, and only one of them are we in agreement on, and that is Jermaine Illuminor. I have Cameron Tom unseating Matt Skura. I have Larnell Coleman ending up on the practice squad. And I have Adam Pankey being the swing tackle until Larnell Coleman is ready.
Okay.
Why I think they're looking for tackle depth at this point. Because you look at their first depth chart, other than Larnell Coleman, you have Adam Pankey, Jonathan Hubbard, Timon Paris, and Tyler Mars. Granted, you can kick Jermaine Illuminor. Granted, you can kick Liam Eichenberg. Granted, you can, but Robert Hunt. But again, at that point, it's not where they're trying to put these guys, so you're automatically showing a lack of faith, and it's not good. I still think our best offensive line has Solomon Kindley, Liam Eichenberg, and Robert Hunt on it.
So Cameron Tom and Adam Pankey, yeah, there you're going with some experience because those guys have been around the league for a while and might be a little bit more dependable than Larnell Coleman. If Coleman continues to progress, and he's one player I'm really looking forward to seeing here in the Bears game to see how he looks. If he looks the part, Dolphins may be a little bit afraid to let him go because he may not get back to the practice squad. So, Absolutely. So that's going to be fascinating. Paul, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. And let's stop right there for a second, actually, because the differences in our 53-man roster so far, I think we have five differences, exactly. You have, making the roster that I don't, Garrett Dokes at running back, Robert Foster at wide receiver, Durham Smythe at tight end, Adam Pankey at tackle, Cameron Tom at center. I've got in their place, Savon Ahmed at running back. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. Savon Ahmed at running back. Tight end, Adam Shaheen. Offensive tackle, Larnell Coleman. And center, Matt Skura. And I also have Lynn Bowden, too. So we've got 5 and 5 there. So let's move on to the defensive side of the ball. We're going to divide it into three categories here. First, along the edge, I've got and this can get a little bit hairy because, you know, is this guy a D-end? Is he a defensive tackle? Is he an off-ball linebacker? That's what's exciting about the Dolphins front seven. So at the edge spot, I've got Emmanuel Ogba, Jalen Phillips, Andrew Van Ginkel, who could also obviously a linebacker. I do have Vince Beagle making it, even though he's got a, according to recent reports, he's got a boot on his foot. He has looked impressive when he's been out on the field. So he's got to be healthy here throughout August. So he's my fourth edge guy. And Jason Strobridge is my fifth guy.
Yes, Jason Strobridge. He's going to be the guy someday.
Someday.
So the weird thing for me with this one was I know we put Beagle in the edge category. If you look at the Dolphins depth chart, they actually put him as a backup to, I believe it was Jerome Baker. Oh, no, it was Bernardrick McKinney.
Yeah, he was third team.
Off-ball linebacker, which I found very odd and intriguing. But for me, he settles in as an edge guy. And I've got Ogba, Phillips, AVG, Beagle, and Strobridge as well.
So we're in agreement there. Defensive tackle. Let's see here. Obviously, we've got the top three guys, Raekwon Davis, Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer. Then I've got Adam Butler making the roster as well. And I think he could possibly provide some very good interior pressure because if you look at Davis, Wilkins, and Sealer, you know, Sealer offers some pass rush. And, yeah, some guys can show some push. Davis and Wilkins can have some push. But Butler is more of kind of the natural pass rusher of that group. So I think he does add something here. He's the fourth defensive tackle. I have John Jenkins making it too. I think in some looks you could have John Jenkins as the nose tackle, Raekwon Davis kicking out a little bit wider, especially on those big sets. So I've got 5 defensive tackles.
I have 4. I was with you on that list until you got to beyond Butler. I like John Jenkins a lot, but I think he fades out here for the Dolphins.
Okay. Sounds good. Means that Paul's going to have an extra player here at linebacker and at defensive back. So let's get to that. At off-ball linebacker, I have 4 making it because I've got Andrew Van Ginkel and I've got Vince Beagle. We've got them listed as edge players here. So my 4 linebackers are, and this was a little tough after Baker and McKinney. You know, I have Brennan Scarlett, and the reason for that is, and I'll give a shout out to Alfredo Arteaga from the 3 yards per carry podcast that I heard this from, is he has played just about 100% of snaps on special teams in camp. And that's usually a telltale sign. You take a look previously at keeping guys like Kelvin Munson and Deion Lacey on the team. Brennan Scarlett might be an edge player too. You might classify him as that, but I think he brings special teams ability too. So he's my 3rd guy. Then it's a really tough battle between Shaquem Griffin, Sam Egwuavon, and Duke Riley for that final linebacker spot. And I gave the edge to Duke Riley.
You know, I'm going to make a spontaneous change to my list here, Kat, and I apologize. I'm going to take my edge down to 5, and I'm going to remove Vince Beagle. I flirted with this idea anyway.
Beagle's out, okay.
And I am going to go to 5 at the linebacker spot. I looked at Beagle, and I like Beagle. I think he can do a decent job off the edge. But again, there's only so many snaps. And I just don't see a role, especially when the Dolphins start listing him as an inside linebacker pretty much. In that Bernardrick McKinney, Jerome Baker mold, which he just isn't a fit for, unless you're talking special situations. And I like Brennan Scarlett. I think he actually unseats somebody later in the list that's going to be a surprise to some, probably not you. I think Shaq Griffin has been flashing this week, both from the inside and from the edge, to the point of getting chirpy, I think was one of the reports I heard, because he was causing so much havoc out there. And then, much to some people's surprise, I've got Sam McGuavin making it. There were moments he flashed last year, and because if they use him as the Jerome Baker substitute when needed, he does have a role, at least as far as some of the pass rush you see come out of the Jerome Baker spot. So McGuavin has a role on this team, and Brendan Scarlett has a role, and Shaq Griffin has been flashing enough that I think he does make the roster.
I went back, as I said before. Yeah, the toughest call for me on this 53-man roster was Duke Riley against Sam Egwuvon. Mm-hmm. Now, Shaquem Griffin right now is on fourth-team defense, according to the depth chart, but he also just joined the team. So he is somebody who needs a big August here. And, you know, when you look at all the edge players here, the Andrew Van Ginkles, the Vince Beagles, the Jalen Phillips, is there a spot for Griffin? And yeah, maybe Griffin can be an off-ball linebacker and special teams guy. Is he good enough in coverage to be that? So we'll see as it goes along. And that's why I give the edge to a player like Duke Riley, who has a lot more NFL experience. So we'll see there. So moving along to defensive back, and I know we always agree on having a lot of them. I've got 11 defensive backs. You've either got 11 or 12, according to the to
11.
The, yeah, you have 11. So we both have 11. So I know we're going to agree on a lot of them here. Xavien Howard, Byron Jones, Eric Rowe, Javon Holland as the four starters. Justin Coleman in the slot, Nick Needham, Brandon Jones, Noah Igbinoghene. We're up to 8 there.
Which is one more than I'm sorry, because I've got mine broken as corner and safety. I apologize. I've got 11 total, yes.
Gotcha. So, I threw for a grip. So, my three final guys making it. Jason McCourty. Do you have Jason McCourty on there too?
I do, yes.
Okay, sounds good. So we've got 9. Let's go through it again. Xavien Howard, Javon Holland, Eric Rowe, Byron Jones as the starters. Then after that, Nick Needham, Jason McCourty, Brandon Jones, Justin Coleman, Noah Igbinoghene. We've got those 9. Yep. My final 2 spots go to Jamal Perry, making the roster again, over Clayton Fedulum. So, you know, talking to you about Clayton Fedulum and Jamal Perry, that's like, you know, which knife are you going to stab yourself with? But I went with Jamal Perry. And then finally, the surprise of my roster here was Terrell Bonds, who has been jumping out here at the cornerback spot. A 5'9", 175-pound cornerback out of Tennessee State. He's somebody that, you know, if he surprises, may end up throughout the season challenging Justin Coleman in that nickelback role. He's been on the Ravens practice squad for the last few years. Somebody the Dolphins find these players at cornerback, like Javaris Davis, who may challenge for the roster spot too. You know, you look back at Nick Needham and you remember Ken Webster, Tay Davis, these guys that they just find off the street and they play pretty well. And I think Terrell Bonds might be that guy too. So he's my final and 7th cornerback and 11th defensive back making the Dolphins team here.
So we both have a little bit of a deep cut here at corner, because I have Javaris Davis. And then for my final defensive back, I have Jamal.
Oh, wow.
Perry.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hey, I respect you for that. You know, you're not pot committed to Jamal Perry's failure anymore. I
don't want him to fail. He just does. Like, but he's been standing out this preseason, and you know, he's been standing out a lot more than Clayton Flood-Lum, as far as that goes. So Falala can go at this point.
The big question is, with Clayton Fedulum and Calvin Munson being cut here, the Dolphins get more positional value if they keep Jamal Perry and a guy like Sam Egwuvon on the roster. Are they sacrificing anything in special teams? They might be.
No.
And that's some. You don't think so?
No, because you're keeping Brennan Scarlett. You're keeping, as it stands right now, Mac Hollins and Robert Foster on my roster. It's so you're really not. I think Shaq Griffin can play some special teams. Like, it's you start looking at some of the guys. They've gotten so many guys with special teams experience that you're really not sacrificing anything with Fedgelum. He did well, but Brennan Scarlett's been a monster so far. You know, some of these other guys can step into those roles, I think.
Yeah. It's I think you might be losing something on paper there.
On paper, sure, but not on the field.
Okay, we'll see.
And you can actually fill these guys in a position as well sometimes, which is amazing.
Guys, so let's take a look here at the biggest cuts I've got that I've listed. Garrett Doakes, Preston Williams, who actually may go on PUP, given that he's still hurt. And that could be big for the Dolphins, that maybe you get a little bit of a shot in the arm here in the middle of the year with Preston Williams coming off there. He does have talent. He just has to stay healthy. Maybe playing half a season is going to help him.
He'll play the second half.
Yeah. Malcolm Perry, he's somebody caught in the weeds. He's a good player, too. Durham Smythe, a tight end. Sam Egwuvon, Shaq Griffin, Calvin Munson, Clayton Fedgelum. Those are kind of the notable cuts for me. So let's take a look at the differences here real quick, Paul. You've got Garrett Doakes, Robert Foster, Durham Smythe, Cameron Tom, Adam Pankey, Shaq Griffin, Sam Egwuvon, Javaris Davis as your guys.
Yep.
Mine are here, Savon Ahmed, Lynn Bowden, Adam Shaheen, Larnell Coleman, Matt Skura, John Jenkins, Vince Beagle, and Terrell Bonds. That's my team. So we'll see at the end of the offseason. But Paul, obviously,
I just want to dive into a couple of my big cuts because Matt Skura was a big cut for me. And just to prove somebody wrong in the chat, Clayton Fedgelum was a pretty big cut for me, being a signing Miami had a couple years ago. That basically, we need to get ourselves in the right mindset because Chris Greer is not afraid of what some of these GMs are, where they'll sit there and they'll keep a guy well beyond the expiration date. Chris Greer is not afraid to say, nope, that was a screw up. Get out of here. Bye. As opposed to what you see from some GMs in the NFL, because God forbid they admit that a guy was a failure and didn't live up. So it's, yeah, absolutely. That was a big cut. It hurt a little bit to cut a couple of the defensive tackles, Vince Beagle. And really, you know, it's almost like a cut that I kept Jamal Perry at this point.
Yeah, I mean, SoFlo Sports in the chat said cutting Jared Doakes. Listen, Doakes is basically a fullback, and you know how I feel about fullbacks. So
they're freaking awesome.
So he's got to go. No, Doakes has a good chance to make the roster, and he's got a big preseason too. I wonder if he is fast enough to be able to get in there and make a difference. We'll see. So let's Paul, we've only got a few minutes here left.
Let me throw in one real quick thing, because I do have one potential dark horse to make this roster, even though I'm not ready to put him on my 53 yet. And that is Durval Quirez Neto, finally getting off the international exemption list in time to not be as old as Tom Brady when he does, and actually make this roster potentially. And I think he challenges on the D-line, not the O-line, even though he's listed on the O-line at this point.
Okay. Yeah, he's been, you know, I had him listed there at the beginning, last year when he was exempt. Yeah, and pretty good reports coming out on him. I think if he had brought the same talent and the same mystique to the offensive tackle spot, then we'd be talking about somebody really in the driver's seat to make the roster. But he really is that guard. Or maybe he goes back to defensive tackle, but that's it. So, Paul, let's take a look at the Bears game here. You know, we don't need to take a deep dive into, okay, you need to establish the run game or wide receiver or offensive line, et cetera. Three players that we're looking at here, you know, as the game goes on, because it's going to be about second, third, and fourth teamers here. So I've got three guys Number one, Malcolm Perry. He's been kind of lost in the shuffle, and he really needs to dominate here the second half of this football game when he gets in. He needs to show a lot of different looks. Number two is Javaris Davis, a guy that's on your roster. He has the physical skill set. There's no doubt about that. Cousin of Vontae Davis, when he was at the Senior Bowl here a couple of years ago, he was a final late entry and turned out to be one of the best cornerbacks there. So you've got that. I'm going to go cornerback again, Terrell Bonds. That's because that's, to me, going to be an interesting competition for what could be the 11th defensive back spot. I want to see this guy out there as that kind of little jitterbug out there, because he and Bonds and Javaris Davis had, you know, really in the second half of this game, might be the two cornerbacks out there. And it's going to be an interesting battle to see which one overtakes the other one, possibly for a roster spot. We may see that in a few games here.
Yeah. There are so many guys on this list that I want to watch this weekend, especially after the starters come off the field. One of them is going to be Cameron Tom. I've trashed the center position, but I want to see if he can truly send Matt Skura the same direction as one of his snaps goes, skipping lazily off into a sunset instead of where it was supposed to. But I'm watching that. I'm going to be watching very firmly Jakeem Grant, because there's a lot of good reports about how his hands have been this preseason. I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to list four guys, and I don't care. Get mad at me if you want. You can list a fourth. I'm going to say I am firmly staring at Javon Holland, seeing if he can unseat Jason McCourty this week based on how he's been doing basically throughout the week. And then I keep talking about him, but there's something there. There was something there when he got drafted, and there's something there by all reports for somebody that's unfamiliar with it. Not the easiest defense to learn, but Shaq Griffin, because he's got some inside-outside flexibility, and Miami does like to play this positionless defense, and he's been flashing this week. So you combine those things, and I am watching Shaq Griffin, seeing if he can do enough that the Dolphins unseat Vince Beagle for him.
Yeah, since you listed five, and we should have made it five.
I thought I did four.
You said Shaq Griffin. Well, you might have.
Because I can do five. I can do five.
You can do 10. You can do 15. We could extend the show till 10. But you know I got to go to bed, so...
I'm the old one here. I just had a football practice in 100 degree heat with 50 kids. Like, how do you need to go to bed? I started a new
whether I go to bed at 3 a.m. or 9 p.m., I'm getting up at 5 a.m.
Just don't sleep. It's more fun.
Nah, I'm a morning person now. This is who I am. Two other players, Larnell Coleman and Durval Quaresnito.
Yes.
This is a big game for them. I mean, these preseason games are huge, because when the bullets start flying, they have physical skills. So that's going to be big for them. So, Paul, in addition to everything we've talked about here tonight, what else jumps out at you? What else might you be looking for here in the Bears game?
I do want to see Lynn Bowden and Malcolm Perry make this a lot more difficult, because we shouldn't be talking about, or I shouldn't even be flirting with the idea of Mac Hollins and Robert Foster both being on the roster in week one. I really shouldn't. But I am, because it's been pretty quiet for the flexible duo in Bowden and Perry. The other guy I want to keep an eye on is Kirk Merritt. He's a guy I was really excited about last year and still went into this preseason excited about, even though they've got a deep receiver room. But, Noah Igbinoghene. Ugh. Why? Just step up.
Yeah, he has to. He has to. And that's, and look, this conversation may need to start who the better Auburn cornerback was in that draft now, Noah Igbinoghene or Javaris Davis? The first rounder of the undrafted free agent. We're not there yet. Don't get me wrong. But
wait, we can list Zach Sealer as somebody we're watching, because he's still the backup, at least until next week.
Well, I mean, look, Noah Igbinoghene, yeah, I know he's raw. I say over and over again, the guy was barely 20 when he was drafted. He's 21 now. He was a first-round draft pick, okay? Like, you can't be unplayable for years at a time. He better get it here in the second season. If not, we're talking about Jamar Fletcher, Jason Allen type of draft picks at cornerback. Man, they either really get it right at cornerback or they really get it wrong with these high draft picks. So, well, Noah needs to step it up.
A couple other guys that I really do want to see a little more of.
Oh, God. Again,
Jaylen Askew and Trill Williams. There's some guys that are deep cuts at corner that could unseat somebody and make a case for a roster spot. And believe it or not, for me, it would be Javaris Davis that they unseat, not Jamal Perry at this point because he did have a big week.
Yeah, it's going to be a real battle at the defensive back spot. And you mentioned Kirk Merritt, and I look at him and Chris Myrick and think, God, no matter how good these guys do in camp, it just doesn't make a difference for him. Merritt didn't do well against the Bears in the scrimmage. That hurts him. You can't have mistakes if you're Myrick or Kirk Merritt in camp. Yeah. And I don't know, we'll see, but I think I like that the practice squads have been extended here over the last couple of years too, because they can get back on the practice squad. So we will see what happens, Paul. As we
continue. Suck at naming just three guys, by the way.
Yeah, we went at eight. Why did I say three? We should have.
We I think we did like 18 apiece at this point.
Some intern's getting fired after the show.
So. That's fire the intern. That's right. Yeah. I need a t-shirt that says fire the intern.
But we're going to be back here Saturday night. And we're going to be back here every night after a Dolphins game. Yep. And breaking it down, whether it's preseason or regular season, and starting this weekend and up until early May, we're going to be here twice a week as well, breaking down everything Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow me, Brian Cat NFL, on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic_pick. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, the FinFanatic.com website, and the Fansided Network. If it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.